Amen. Everybody look at your neighbor. So you look perfect in Christ. Amen. Turn to the other neighbor and say, you look perfect in Christ. Now look down at the devil. Say, devil, I look perfect in Christ. I don't care what you say. Only listen to what he says. Amen. Why don't you open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I want to talk about the good report. There it is. It takes a good report to receive from God. And the greatest desire God has is for us to receive the best that God has for us. The Heavenly Father, He is a Heavenly Father. How many of you remember when you were a kid at Christmas and you got the toy or whatever, the gift that you were wanting or a gift you were desiring or just the gift itself? You open that thing up and you squealed with glee. And the look on your mom and dad's face, you didn't need electricity in the house to light it up that morning. Why? Because they were so happy that their gift could bring joy, bring blessing, enlightenment, and just all around goodness to you. Well, guess what the Heavenly Father does when we receive what He has for us? It brings Him joy. It brings Him great pleasure. It brings Him, well, the Bible says that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels when one person gets saved. You know, we often misquote that. It says, yes, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Yes, they're rejoicing. But the one in the midst of them is rejoicing. It's God the Father rejoicing that another child has come home. Of course, when the Father's rejoicing, all of the angels and all of heaven take his cue. Heard one guy talk about going to heaven. You ever heard of Jesse Duplantis? And he said he was caught up to heaven, and every time he'd say, praise God, there are about 50 angels around going, praise God. They break out into a glory break. I mean, that's how full heaven is of God's joy. For those who don't know Jesus, you've got a bright future because you can receive Him. Amen? God wants you to have a birthday party in heaven. Amen. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read for my phone because I don't have to turn. I'm being lazy this morning. I don't have to turn pages. I can just push a few buttons and I'm there. Are you the only one that does that? Am I the only one that does that? Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, elders obtained a good report. We connect this. I didn't write this scripture down, but Mark 11, 23 and 24 says, for verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things he saith, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. The good report is saying and believing what God says about you and what God says about your situation. And you can take what He says about you, put it in your mouth, and cause Him to be able to give it to you, to manifest it as a physical reality in this life. That's why what we say out of our mouth is so important. Proverbs chapter 19, I believe, 18. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What we say about ourselves tomorrow is what we will be living in tomorrow. Amen? Remember what said it in Mark 11:23? I should have stuck to my notes. If you believe the things you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Everybody say this with me. If I believe the things I say come to pass in line with God's word, I will have whatsoever I say. Not just in promise, but in reality. Starts out in faith first. But faith is the substance. How many like cookies? My stomach has been a cookie jar for many years. You got to make dough, though, first, right? You know, cookie dough is not dough. Cookie dough is not cookies. But it's the substance of what it's made of. When you take the Word of God, and the Word of God produces faith in your heart, with that faith that your Word has produced in your heart, if you just leave it in there long enough, your faith is going to produce what you're believing God for. Just like cookie dough makes cookies, your faith makes answered prayer. Say this with me. In God's word is a substance of everything I desire from God. Amen? Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. This is pretty much the crux of the whole message. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not, everybody say, shall not. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe and to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. I remember the days before GPS. You had Mr. Rand McNally. And if you're on a road trip, honey, no, not that page. Page 24. The blue line. No, that's a river. No, the other one. What are you doing? You're observing something because you don't want to get lost along the way. Well, it says right here, that we may observe to do according to all that is written therein. How much time do we spend studying God's word? It's a lifelong commitment. Because without God's word, we will get lost. A lot of Christians I hear, when they come into a time of trouble, the word of God is not the first thing in the mouth. It's more like, well, I think it could happen this way. And those words and those beliefs have no ability to bring to pass what it says in God's word. That's why we've got to intently observe what God's word says, that we may observe to do. That we may observe to do. How many's ever had a workout video on TV? How many dislike them as much as I do? Therefore, you don't see me in workout video shape. But if you're going to finish the workout, do it successfully, you've got to observe the video. You've got to observe what they do it, how they do it, so you can get the best optimum efficiency from that video. And you too, after 6 months. My hero is dancing this way. It says to come into his word and let it not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. What's meditation? It's getting alone with God and speaking God's word and meditating on it and letting it get from here to here. Once the word of God gets down in your heart, it changes our decision-making processes. We stop making decisions after, "Oh my God, what am I going to do? I've got, You ever felt like doing that in private? I have. But when the word of God gets a hold of you, by meditation, by speaking to it, the word of God produces faith. With faith begins to come into play, it changes the way you do things. It also helps you make your decisions for you. Because when God's word is rich in you and growing up in you, we stop thinking like we think. We start thinking like he thinks. And God only has right thoughts. The best way to heal a tortured mind is to meditate on God's word. The best way to heal a depressed mind, a depressed attitude, is to think on God's word. Because before we got born again, we were raised in the devil's world. And all of us were guilty of stinking thinking. But when we put the word of God in on the inside of us, we ingest it. By not letting it depart out of our mouth, but meditating in it. It's speaking the word over again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Guess what? It produces something for ourselves and for others. Who has ever heard of a cow? What do cows do? Sounds kind of gross, but it's very practical. They chew their cud. They'll eat it. I'm not going to go into the details, but then they'll re-eat it. They have five stomachs. They'll re-eat it. They'll re-eat it. They'll re-eat it. And what happens when they do that? It produces something. It produces nutrients for the body. And it produces milk. Who's ever heard the scripture? That we as babes might desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. As we meditate in God's word becomes nutrient to our system. And as we feed upon what we fed upon, we feed upon the word of God, we put the word of God in our mouth and in our heart. At a certain time, the word of God starts talking back to you. It may not necessarily be coming out of your mouth, but all of a sudden you start to hear it down here. And that's when the milk of the word starts nourishing you. Then you shall make your way prosperous. And then you shall have good success. It's when the word of God goes from here into here. It's not overnight. It's a process. Let's go to Numbers. Am I making this clear? Just want to make sure. Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, "We came unto this land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." And right then and there, everybody goes, "Woo! Yeah, baby!" But then the majority of them talk themselves out of God's blessing because of what the enemy let them know. Oh, that's so nice. But it's just too hard. Not when you got God on your side. Remember the word says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The promise that God leaves you and I is greater than the obstacle and the resistance that the devil tries to bring us. How many remember before you got saved, the state you were in? You're going, oh my God, I don't know if I'll ever change. Well, all of a sudden you heard a promise. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I shall be saved. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And all of a sudden, you decide to take God at your word. Next thing you know, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The obstacle was not too big for God's power and God's Spirit to take care of it all. And it's just the same in any other part of your life. Salvation is a complete package. Salvation, healing, deliverance, provision. It all came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. We saw what God did to a wall years later when Joshua took over. The wall fell down flat. That means the ground opened up and the wall went straight down. The children of Israel at Jericho, the children of Israel didn't have to walk around any rubble. They just walked straight in front of them. The walls were great and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south, and Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Here comes our hero, Caleb. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. I don't know if he's very nice about it. He didn't say, silencio, por favor. I know what I'd say, but I won't say that because it might appear rude. It would have worked with two words, shut and up. Now, you can't be rude to people, but you can be rude to the devil. Because the only one who knows his boundaries is you. He does not know any boundaries. And he'll go as far as you let him. You got to put your foot down and make him obey. He is an outlaw. I don't know one outlaw that'll feel bad about breaking into your house. But I know a German Shepherd would, or something even a little more drastic. But we won't talk about that. You got to enforce your authority over the devil. That's part of our dominion. That's part of what God's given us to live a successful life in this earth. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came that we might have life, that we might have it more. Everybody say, God's come that I might have more, not less. God's will for my life is more. Amen. Don't feel guilty about having more. You know what happens when we have more? We can give more. Come on. Amen. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once that we may possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are, than we. How many of us have ever wanted to believe God for something, but then we looked at who we are in ourselves and the challenges that were before us, and we talked ourselves out of it because the circumstances were just too much for us. It's because we're judging ourselves in ourselves and not judging ourselves as the children of God. If David had come against Goliath with the same attitude, he wouldn't have made it. He'd have been dead on the battlefield. And Goliath would have cut his head off, and he would have been fed to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Same story over and over and over again. We start believing God for things. The devil shows up going, housing. Busting a blood vessel, trying to puff himself up. I'll pump you up. Trying to make himself look more muscular than he is. The guy's a quadriplegic. Jesus crushed his head. You know what that means? No movement below the neck. The only thing he's got left is this flapper here. And he uses it very well. He uses it to intimidate, but we don't have to be intimidated, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report. What's the good report? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What's the evil report? We can't do it because God's not big enough. We choose to believe what we see over what it says in God's word. On the land they had searched, and the children of Israel saying, the land though through which we have searched, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. They're still there. The land hadn't eaten any of them. That's fear projecting a bad future. Well, none of that was for sure. They made it for sure because of an evil report. One of the greatest things the devil says, well, it hasn't happened yet. Just hang on to that word, yet. Hang around, devil. You're about to see something amazing. Because I'm in faith and my faith works, because the God of my faith is greater than all. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of giants. We were in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. I thought they were spies. You're not a very good spy if they can see you. The giants never saw them. They only projected what they saw about themselves. See that? We've got to see ourselves the way God sees us, by continually meditating upon his word, speaking it over and 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 over again. Let's go to Joshua chapter 14. Everybody say, God loves me. He cares about me. He's on my side. Even before I was saved, he's on my side. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. If Jesus wasn't on our side, why would he leave the throne of gold to come down here and walk amongst the cesspool of humanity? You know the greatest thing that man did is found in heaven. It's ugly to us, but it's beautiful to God. The only man-made thing in heaven that will be there for all eternity are the scars in Jesus' body. They're beautiful. Because of those scars, we have redemption through his blood. Because of those scars, we come to the throne room. He knows you and I by name. And we're welcome. For the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of his kingdom. You remember the story of Esther? When King Xerxes, or whatever his name is, to get invited to come before the throne, the king extended his scepter. And you and I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he's even done something better than that. Not only does the righteousness of God extend his favor to us, but if you and I are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, when you go out and you tell someone about Jesus, you become the scepter of his righteousness that he extends to those wonderful people. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 through 14. The children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenazite, and said unto him, Thou knowest the thing the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. Now this is very important. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. As it was, not in the other people's heart, as it was in my heart. The good report comes out of the spirit man. Good report comes out of a heart full of faith. It's not just something we say willy-nilly. It's said on purpose. It's said with a function. It's said with a destination. It's said because it pleases God. And God acts upon it and brings it to pass. Whew. Nevertheless, verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren that went up before me made the heart of the people melt. That's why it's so important that we keep the word of God in our heart day and night. So when the opposition comes, our heart will not melt. Amen. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly, completely followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely land whereupon your feet has trodden, it shall be for your inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord God. And behold, the Lord has kept me alive. What do you think God used to keep him alive? It was a good report. It was a report in the vision of God that God had in his heart because of faith. Caleb was not going to die before he believed God for come to pass. It was his faith that kept him alive. Faith kept Caleb strong. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive and said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He wasn't in a nursing home. He's ready to possess this mountain. Amen. People who have no vision perish. That's one of the reasons we consume the Word of God. Because it gives us vision, it gives us strength. Yet I'm as strong this day as I was the day Moses sent me, and my strength was then, even as it so is now. For to war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake it in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. Blah, 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 blah. And the walls and the cities were great and fenced. But because the Lord is with me, I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. And God blessed him and gave unto him Caleb, the son of Jephthah, Jephthah. That guy, that name, gave him Hebron for his inheritance. How did Caleb live that long and stay that strong that long? Because of the good report. Once you've heard God promise you something, you don't let go of it. You grab a hold of that thing like a snapping turtle. You let those spiritual dentures grab a hold of that. And faith sea bond. Pardon the analogy. But you don't let go of it. Because it belongs to you. God's not a liar. If God says you can have it, you can have it. If God says healing is yours, healing is yours. You don't have to wait for it. It's yours. We possess it by faith. And that which we take by faith starts out in the unseen and turns into the seen. Amen? I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. I'd like to know, is there anyone in here that you never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? This is the greatest news you will ever hear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Because the law of the Spirit of life that we find in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. If you're in here this morning, you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, I want you to raise your hand right now. One other way to say it. If Jesus were to come this morning, if you don't know whether you'd be ready to meet him, I want you to raise your hand. We will pray a prayer with you. I see the hand. We will pray a prayer with you. Jesus will become your Savior. God the Father will become your Father. And everybody in this house will become your part of your family. Heaven will be your eternal home. Heaven will be your eternal home. And this church will be your family here on earth until you go to heaven and see what all of us up there look like.